Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I welcome you today, ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman. I thank you for joining in today. We're going to go back into our study of the topic of killing. And you say, Brother Thurman, why are you talking about killing? Because the Bible talks about killing, and in the way the world is going right now, I wouldn't have picked this study as an ABC type of something that you need to know, you know, like the doctrines of God's Word. But I think it's important for us to keep, you check society right now, and I don't know whether you've been looking at the news last recording. I challenged you to look at the news and see whether stuff was going on, and like we talked about, and I had said something about, if you got on there, that you'd be able to find 8 out of 10 news reports has to do with killing. Has to do with killing. And society has gotten so, I'm telling you, if you don't know this already, you should know it. I think you do, and I think you know I'm telling you the truth. But this killing matter has become, I mean, these people have gone nuts. The country has gone out of their minds, and this killing and all this stuff that's going on in society, perilous times shall come, they're here. Perilous times are here, perilous meaning dangerous. Dangerous. I'm going to tell you something. A little 12-year-old walk up and hold a gun up to you. It ain't like used to. You better not think it's a squirt gun. But we're going to talk about killing some more today and what our Bibles have to say about it. We are Bible believers. We believe every word of God's Word, and we believe that He's God the Holy Ghost is the author of the Word of God, and that it liveth and abideth forever. God's Word is a special book. It's a supernatural book, and the things that are written in that book are true, and they will be. It liveth and abideth forever. And the Lord said that His Word would not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. And we believe that, and we trust it. So let's go and just begin our study again. Today, I think this is about the third lesson, and just to recap just a little bit for you, we began our study and we was talking about, introducing this killing matter and just talking about killing and whether killing was in the Bible, and the word is found in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ used the word Himself right out of His own mouth. The Son of God said it. Killing and all different. I think it's 5 or 6 different sorts of the way the word was spelled and used in the scriptures. And then we went to the dictionary to find out how the word has been has digressed. I was going to say progressed, but it hadn't progressed. Back in 1960, they only had one definition for it, to deprive of life. Then they had a couple other ones that had nothing to do with killing as what we're talking about today. But in 2022, you get in your dictionary, you'll find at least I've got 18 in front of me, all of them defining some sort of killing. And society has got lots of definitions of different kinds of killing now. I mean, you don't just go to court for killing, and they find out whether you meant it or not and whether you planned it or not, and that's the end of it, or whether it was an accident. And but now you can go to court, and there'll be all kinds of different matters of killing. We talked about some synonyms and types of killing that are in the world today, and we began our study with reasons for killing in the Bible, reasons for killing in the Bible. We've seen truths in the Scriptures, and we read the Scriptures. That's the only thing that makes our study worthwhile, is that we read the Scriptures. We read the Scriptures about taking another man's wife was a cause of a reason for killing in the Bible. Reasons for killing, and that killing took place in the Scriptures, is what I mean. To take another's property and to take revenge and to satisfy anger and because of hate, remember, to execute God's wrath. To execute God's wrath. There was some killing that goes on in the Scriptures, both that was valid and invalid. That was good and that was bad sort of killing. To destroy people, to seize a throne, and to put down rebellion, to fulfill prophecy, the Bible says, that reasons that killing took place, and for fear of punishment. And I think the last one that we talked about on our last study was to get rid of an unwanted person. Get rid of an unwanted person. And I mean all sorts of killing like that going on today. I'm not... Listen, when we're talking about this killing matter, and I know this is probably a study that somebody else has... I don't know whether anybody's ever done a study on this. I've never heard a study on killing in the Scriptures, and I've never heard a preacher preach on it, which doesn't mean a whole lot. But I know you're not going to do it, but I'm just going to make the statement, just because this world's so stinking crazy and somebody take this message and go nuts with it and say some bunch of junk that's not true. I'm not trying to incite killing. I'm not trying to make anybody get in the mood or in the mind of killing. We know what the Bible says about killing, and we know in our own hearts, if you're born again, you ought to know in your own hearts, God the Holy Ghost witnesses with our, testifies with our spirit. God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and He also tells us in our hearts what killing is about and whether or not we ought to be killing and what killing. That's the reason we're getting into Scriptures, is to find out what God's mind is about killing and what the Christian ought to think concerning killing and what it's called and just all sorts of different types of killing in the Scripture, and just see what it says. I'm not trying to get you in the mind of going out and killing anybody in no way, form, or fashion, okay? And, we shouldn't. As a matter of fact, we do battle with trying to keep our minds from thinking that kind of garbage in society today. I mean, you can go out, and one thing, you go out, and you might have to do battle to keep from, letting cuss words and letting nasty sex-driven billboards and garbage like that, and have to do battle in your mind and in your heart about that all day. But nowadays, when you get in the newspaper and get on or just look at any kind of news around you, you have to battle in your heart and in your mind about this matter of killing that goes on all the stinking time now. Yeah. I just, the other day I looked up some and shared them with you, and I just happen to have some more here. If you think this matter of killing's not going on in society, man, you got a lot to learn. You need to get updated, man. No, not really, but there's so much. Times are changing, folks. Killing's coming out of the closet. Here's one. The man stabs his wife 30 times after she asked him for a divorce. That happened on July the 31st, 2022. That's 9 days ago. 9 days ago. Did you hear that? A man stabbed his wife to death and stabbed her over 30 times. He stabbed her with scissors and 5 different knives, because she started talking about divorce. Yeah. What else? Well, there's another one here of a school shooting, a 12-year-old. They took him into custody because he went into school and killed, shot and killed, killed another child in the school, a middle schooler, shot and killed him, and then went and hid under some kind of staircase, and they found him, and they arrested him for murder. A 12-year-old. Did you get that? That's in the news. That's in the news. That happened this year. This year. What else? Well, that's not all. That's not all. Here's one. Two people been arrested in connection with the stabbing death of a 9-year-old girl. Two people stab a 9-year-old girl to death and stabbed her to death in an alley lane. You know, the lanes that run down toward in between the buildings and stuff like that. She's walking down through there. 9-year-old girl. Two people got her and stabbed her to death. And they're talking about gun control. I guess everybody's gone over to knives now since they're making such a big deal about guns, huh? And I don't mean that in a crude way. I mean it in a factual way because I'm reading it to you. This happened on August the 1st. That was 8 days ago, folks. A 9-year-old girl got stabbed to death by two people. By two people. Yep, here's another one. A convicted burglar executes four neighbors. Somebody that burglarizes homes and stuff like that. He's arrested for murdering an elderly couple, a mother, and her 15-year-old daughter, and then taken to Facebook to claim they'd been controlling his mind with telepathy. He killed an 82-year-old, a 78-year-old, a 41-year-old, a 15-year-old. Killed them. Killed them. This article says 12 hours ago. Here's another one. A teen fatally stabbed. Four injured as a man attacks during a river tubing fun. You know how all the kids will get together and the teenagers get together? I mean, my daughter, they just not long ago went on. They got a river where she lives, and they go and you rent these two inner tubes and all this kind of stuff and rafts, get on it and ride the rapids and ride down the river. Well, it just so happened that there was a fella met him, a 52-year-old man, that met him and stabbed a 17-year-old boy to death, killed him, and injured four others, while they were going down through there in the raft on the Apple River. Killed them. Killed one and injured four. I guess they was getting away and getting out of there. But he killed one 17-year-old. Why, they was tubing. They wasn't bothering him one bit. Didn't know him from Adam's house cat. But he killed him. He killed a 17-year-old that was just riding the tubes down, riding a inner tube with his friends and injured four other ones. No reason in the world for it to happen, but it happened. Killing. And that was in July the 31st, just a few days ago. Here's another one. You say, Brother TV, is this real? Yeah, it's real. It's real. And this is just stuff that anybody can get off of the news. I don't read the news, folks. I get on there, and when I get on there, I do exactly what I'm reading to you right now. I go through there and see what kind of wicked, ungodly mess that the news is just yum, 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 and just see how this world, you know, if you're going to find out the status of the world, you can find it out on the new in these news outlets. You can find out all the garbage and that's going on in the world on one of these news outlets. Listen to this one. Man allegedly stabs two officers after setting neighbor's door on fire. Man went over and set his neighbor's door on fire. Police showed up and he stabbed both of them. He went and hid in his house, and they tried to talk him, letting him in, and they got a search warrant, went in, and he stabbed them both. Stabbed both the officers. Yeah. That was this year. This year. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. A 14-year-old. Well, we're getting down in the 14 and 13 and 12 and 10 and 9 and 8 years old is not uncommon in the news now on the matter of killing. 14-year-old kills an adult in West Virginia after a domestic violence problem. 14-year-old child is accused of fatally shooting an adult following an ongoing domestic incident. And then you read on down through there, and it said that they found out that the adult that got shot and killed was the one that was causing the problems. But the 14-year-old shot him and killed him. 14 years old. Killed an adult. Killing. We're talking about killing. And we're going to get into the scriptures and find out what God's word says about it. But I'm just showing you. I'm just showing you this. I don't even know why I'm showing you this. Or talking to you about this. But killing has become the top on the top five list of favorite things to do in society now. Listen to this one. A mom stabs young children, killing daughter. This one here almost made me, if it's the one I'm thinking about, yeah, it is. This is down south in New Orleans. It says 8 hours ago. That's probably sometime yesterday. But two young children were stabbed in their home by their own mother. Killed them. Their own mother killed them. Stabbed them to death. A 4-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy. And then there was another one. There was a stabbing incident. Now listen to this. A similar tragic stabbing incident played out in the town of Colorado just a few days ago. According to this district office, an 18-year-old female was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. 18-year-old female charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, and listen to this, after allegedly stabbing her infant daughter to death after she was born. Done it with some scissors. Killed her baby after she birthed it and stabbed it to death. That takes the cake, doesn't it? Yep, killing. It's real, folks. It's out of the closet. It's all around you. And that's why we're doing this study, is to find out what God's mind is concerning this matter. Reasons against killing. Reasons against killing, we talked about, remember? And we went over that on our last recording, talking about reasons for killing is what we went over last time, wasn't it? And this time we're going to start on reasons against killing in the Bible. What's the Bible say about giving us commandment not to kill? Well, everybody knows the commandment in Exodus 20:13. What is one reason against killing in God's word? Well, because God commands us. Because it's God's law. God says, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's the law. And Jesus backed that up in the New Testament. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, that's where the law is, thou shalt not kill. And that's not a long sentence, and it ain't got a lot of explanation in it. It's directly to the point of what God thinks about killing. Thou shalt not kill. Okay? Okay, it don't get any plainer than that. Thou shalt not kill. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. That's God's mind about killing. But it's about killing. It's kind of killing that we just got through talking about, the killing that's going on today. And you'll see that as we move through the scriptures and see what God's mind is about killing. God's mind, well, we'll move on into it and the scriptures will explain it. There's a difference in killing in the scriptures and somebody dying. Killing and murder are two different things in that. In the mind of the Lord and in the scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18, he saith unto them, unto him, which, now this is Jesus talking with a fella that the Lord said, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which, and Jesus said, listen to this, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And of course, we know the conversation went on. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus went on and talked to him some more about his matter of his heart. Okay, but the Lord didn't say, thou shalt not kill. Jesus didn't. God in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, reasons against killing is because of God's law. In the law, God said, thou shalt not kill. Jesus backed that up in the New Testament, but he didn't say, thou shalt not kill. He said, thou shalt do no murder. Big difference there. And the Lord is making a statement right there having to do, I mean, the law is still right. God's mind is still, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus gave us some more explanation having to do with this killing matter and what killing really is. When he said, thou shalt do no murder. Okay? All right, remember that as we move through the scriptures. Now, in Romans, we're talking about reasons against killing in the Bible, in God's Word, because of God's law. God's law says, thou shalt not kill. So, how should your mind be concerning, how should a Christian's mind be concerning killing? I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm not even going to think about killing anybody. I'm not going to entertain the matter of killing people. And if the enemy or, and if you look at too much of society and the news and the billboards and watch that television too much, you go, and especially them stinking video games, you're going to think about killing. It's going to be on your mind. It will be programmed into your mind. Killing is a programmable matter, is being programmed into people in society now. It's being programmed. You say, no, yeah. It's being programmed. So a Christian on purpose has to keep that garbage out of his mind about killing people. And somebody say, well, I don't ever think about killing. You're lying. If you get through this world now and you're living in this world now and you are participating in society and the world and you're not keeping your mind the way the Lord says to keep it from the things that the world come out of the world, killing is crossing your mind. And the enemy is trying to get you to entertain it. Killing. Don't tell me that's why all this stuff is going on in society, because people thinking about it, and then they execute it. Where are they getting thinking from? But God's law says, thou shalt not kill. Okay, so that should be first and foremost in a Christian's mind, God's law. But you say, we're not under the law. Well, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. That's the New Testament. He was reciting the law, but he didn't say, thou shalt not kill. He said, thou shalt do no murder. The Son of God backed up the law and said, thou shalt do no murder. He saith unto him, which? Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And they go on with the matter that Jesus was dealing with him about. But then in Romans, we're talking about because of God's law is a reason against killing in the scriptures. In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul was talking, and he said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. He don't kill his neighbor. That's not love. That's not Christ-like love. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. What work of darkness? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Apostle Paul, in that verse right there, reinstituted and just built upon the foundation of thou shalt not kill. And then what Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. For the church, don't kill anybody. Thou shalt not kill. Reasons against killing in the Bible is because God's law says so. Jesus said so. The Apostle Paul said so. You're not supposed to entertain killing people. And you're definitely not supposed to kill anybody. Murder anybody. There's a difference. And we're going to get into that. You heard the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, thou shalt do no murder. Okay? Killing goes on. The Lord kills. King David killed. King Saul killed. Samuel killed. Lots of people in the scripture killed, but did they murder? You see the difference there? Now, the scriptures brings this out to us, and this is something that we need to know. That's why we're studying God's word in this matter of killing. Killing is just not a blanket statement. It's not killing and you killed somebody, period. I mean, the Bible says, was it murder? And that matters to the Lord. But the first reason against killing in the scriptures is because it's God's law. Thou shalt not kill. And then the Lord Jesus Christ backed it up in Matthew chapter 19 and said, thou shalt do no murder. Okay. And he gave us some truth on top of truth there. And then the Apostle Paul said, thou shalt not kill. Talking to the church. He said, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That's a lot of reasons for killing people there, ain't it? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Apostle Paul taught us something about killing right there. Killing is a provision of the flesh, and it is a lust of the flesh. Did you get that? We're talking about reasons against killing in the Scriptures. All right, that's not all. Because of God's law, we're not to kill. That's what the Lord says. But the Lord Jesus Christ took it a little bit further in explanation because he knew the world was going to get so stinking squirrely with these squirrely laws and constant changing laws about killing and who can kill, who can't kill, what color can you kill with, blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. When it stayed under God's law and it was under the Word of God and the justice system was ran by God's mind, there wasn't any problem about this matter of killing. It was, did he kill in spite? Did he pre-plan it? Did he have malice in his heart? And the Lord provided for these different kinds of things when a man went to trial for killing. Okay, but now it's got so far out of hand, anybody can make any reason for killing and come up with some kind of new law or come up with a... you know how it's just gone mad. They're gone nuts. It's a circus. But what does the Bible say? Reasons against killing in the Bible. First thing is that because of God's law. And God said it. He wrote it on stone. Moses delivered it. And it's the law. And the law is good. And it's spiritual, the Bible says. But when grace came in, Jesus Christ came in. And when he was preaching the kingdom of heaven to the Jews and getting ready to be crucified and make the sacrifice for all of us that was necessary, he said, "Thou shalt do no murder." And he taught us a little different thing about killing in the Scriptures there. He didn't say kill. He said murder. There's a difference. And then the Apostle Paul backed it up and said, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill," to the church. So we got that. All right, what else? Because of the regard for life. A Christian is supposed to care about life. It's not supposed to be, a Christian is not supposed to be in the mind like the world's mind is. I mean, everybody makes any kind of excuse for killing a human being now, but you kill the old spotted, polka-dotted, red-headed kitty cat down the road, you going to jail for 25 years. Killing an animal is worse than killing a human being in this matter of society now. You see how this thing has gone crazy and gone mad? But a Christian is supposed to have a pure mind. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Because of the regard for life. You don't kill because you care about life. A Christian claims to be a child of God and God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. And you can walk around all day thinking about stabbing somebody in their eye socket. And it doesn't bother you a bit. There's something wrong with that. God the Holy Ghost does not teach those kind of things. He teaches purity, and he teaches love. And in this matter of killing, we know that we're in the flesh, and we're walking in the body, and that the body is dead, and that the works of the flesh are wicked. But the Lord said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And killing is a lust of the flesh. But defending yourself... You see how this matter goes? That's why it's important to know God's mind about this. Well, because of the regard of life. Regard of life. You say, "Well, what do you mean, brother?" Well, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 19, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. Of course, we know what they're talking about here. We're talking about Joseph and his brothers putting together a plan to kill him and get rid of him. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood." Now you see Reuben's mind? Reuben knew that they're supposed to have a regard for life, no matter what their mind is against their brother. They're supposed to regard life. He said, "Shed no blood." The Lord said, "The life of the flesh is in the blood. But cast him into this pit, that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father." Reuben had a regard for life, and he stopped his brothers from killing Joseph and had plans in his heart to return him to his father and not let him be killed. He had a regard for life. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The Lord talking to Adam and Eve. And what did he say? "And God blessed them, and God said unto them," the very first thing he said, "Be fruitful, multiply yourself, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth." In other words, make life, reproduce, make lots of babies. Regard for life. God has a regard for life. He didn't tell them, kill some people. He didn't tell them, murder some people. He didn't tell them, get rid of the ones you don't like. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. Because of a regard for life is a reason for not killing in the scriptures. It's very plain. What else? In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, two." And what did he tell him to get all these for? "To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." What seed? The seed of the beasts, the seed of the people, Noah's seed, that they can reproduce and keep life going. The regard for life. I mean, God could have killed everybody, but he didn't. He had a regard for life. He kept the humans alive. He kept the birds alive. He kept the animals alive, both male and female. He kept the beasts alive, both male and female. And he said the reason was, is to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. God regards life, and a Christian ought to regard life also. These are reasons for not killing in the scriptures. Do you see that? Very plain, isn't it? Nothing hard about that. What about the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple," now what's he talking about? He's talking about your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God
is holy, which temple ye are. You're not to kill yourself. You're not to destroy your temple. God's temple. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. It is God the Holy Ghost's temple, your body, and you are not to destroy it or to defile it, because God will kill you for that. For the temple of God is holy, a regard for life. Reasons for not killing in the Scriptures? Well, first thing that we've seen was because of God's law. Very plain, very simple, very understandable. God's mind is don't kill. And that's the way He wants His children to think. And that's the way people are supposed to think and have in their heart. Also, the regard for life. You are supposed to regard life as precious and not defile it and to preserve it. That's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 27, listen to this. The Bible says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage," this Apostle Paul talking when he was on that ship, "I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter." So they're getting ready on this ship to go somewhere, and they have this conversation and this problem of whether to spend the winter right where they're at, or try to take a chance, because it's so close, of traveling over to this other place that was a little bit better to winter in, I guess because they had the things that they needed at this other place, which was better than where they were. But they were taking a chance because the weather was getting bad, and Paul told them, he says, "I perceive that the lading of the ship is going to cause much damage if you leave this port. It's going to cause much damage. It might even get the ship, and it's also going to get the lading." And he said, "Maybe even our lives." And they took what Paul said, and Paul said, told them, and they had other people that put their 2 cents into it. And the decision was to leave and try to get to Crete. "And there to winter, which is an haven of Crete." Now listen to this. "And lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against a tempest called Euroclydon," a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive and turned it loose and let it go where it wanted to. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, and the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Paul was right. They shouldn't have loosed from the place they were, but they did. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as he told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, I think that's the Adrian Sea, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they were near some country. Let me find my place. I lost my place. Some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when he had gone a little farther, he sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The regard for life. Reasons in the scriptures against killing. Because of God's law, because of regard for life. And Paul's matter in that shipwreck right there, the Lord told him, don't worry about it. He said, these people went ahead and sailed and against what you told them, and they're going to lose the ship. The ship's going to be torn all to pieces, but everybody is going to be saved alive. And if you read on a little farther, this was over 200 people on that ship, 200 men on that ship. I don't remember exactly. I haven't looked it up, but there was over 200 and something men on that ship, and every one of them was saved alive, because when they got ready to abandon the ship, they was going to jump off the ship and get in the lifeboat. Paul told them, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I've done told you people, God said everybody's going to live, but you got to stay on the ship to live. And guess what they did? They cut the lifeboats free then. They started listening to him. Regard for life. Regard for life. Paul told them, don't loose from here. It's dangerous. Because he cared about life. Paul cared about life. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he cared about life, because he appeared to the Apostle Paul in the ship there and told him, don't worry about it. You've got to go before Caesar, and I've given you all the men here alive. And Paul told all the people in the ship that God said they could live and that we're going to live. So Paul shows us a regard for life and the Lord Jesus Christ there, the angel that appeared to him. Said, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar. It was the angel of God, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ, I suppose, because of the way the wording in the scriptures is. It says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Now, he was either talking about God the Father, or he was talking about that the angel was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure which one, but either one is wonderful and true, because the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of as an angel in an appearance. When you think of an angel in the scriptures, think of an appearance. Angels appear. Okay, so moving right along, that's in another lesson altogether. A regard for life. Regard for life is reasons against killing in the scriptures, and because it's commanded not to kill. Listen, Christian, You're not supposed to be walking around thinking about, and in society today, now, I'm not condemning you, because in society today, people are being programmed. You say, no, yeah, you check it out. The music, all your TV programs, your news reports, you name it, the video games, everything is programming murder and programming killing and the loss of life and the carelessness of life and not to regard life. Life is nothing. A 16-year-old can buy a video game, go home, sit there and play it, and blow somebody's brains out and splatter their brains all over the place. And what's that teach him? Not to regard life. That life is unimportant. It doesn't matter. You can splatter somebody's brains out. I mean, they got it on video games. How can you say that it's not, that it's important about life? I mean, kids get video games to kill people and splatter their brains all over the place, as many as they can kill. The big thing in those games is how many people you can kill. What does that say to you, Christian? But we're not in that mind anymore. You have the mind of Christ. You're being molded into the image of Christ, conformed into the image of Christ. Your mind should be going in the matter of regard for life and obeying God's commands. What else? Well, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, listen to this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. God regards, the Lord Jesus Christ regards life. He regards it in such perfection that he's not going to leave us in this vile body that we're living in. He's going to change it and perfect it and make it like the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Life. The regard for life. And Philippians, okay, we read that. Now listen to this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10 says, and it's talking about animals and hunting and stuff like that. And the Lord's not against. The Lord said that he gave us the animals to use and to eat in the New Testament. The Bible says a righteous man, the ones that do right, the ones that think right about this matter, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. You consider the life that's in that beast. You don't take it for granted. The life is important to you. The food is important to you, and the Lord gave it to us for food. But the life of the beast is supposed to be regarded. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You see the difference there? And that's just talking about the animals. Now, if the Lord gave us the animals to eat and to use, and all things are good in the sight of the Lord, if they be eaten with thanksgiving, the Bible says. But reasons for killing in the Bible is because God commands us not to kill, and because of the regard of life. Now, if God tells us that a righteous man regards the life of the beast that God has given permission to kill and to use for food, but to regard his life, don't just kill him to kill his life, then how much more should be the matter of a human being that's worth many sparrows, the Lord said. Yeah, we are to regard life. You're not to walk around thinking about killing people. You're not to walk around entertaining the matter of murdering somebody or killing somebody or even destroying life. life, talking about human life, the temple, human life, because of the regard for life. What else? Mark chapter 3, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they held their peace. You see there in Mark, that Mark, Brother Mark recorded in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ used the matter of saving life and killing as far as doing evil or doing good. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. The Lord Jesus Christ used a question against some people that were tempting him. And he used saving life and killing as good and bad, you see. And that's not all. In Colossians and chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." The Bible says that Christ is our life. And he is. If you're born again, you know that. We're not to be thinking about killing. Now, you might be saying, "Brother TV, why would you even suggest that a Christian could think such a thing?" Listen to me. I didn't fall off the turnip wagon yesterday. I know what Christians can think. And there are a bunch of you out there right now that are having problems with that matter. And there's no reason to lie about it. Tell God the truth. Every one of us thinks about that stuff. You can't help but be tempted with that kind of thinking in society today in 2022. And it's going to wax worse. You got 12-year-olds taking machine guns into a school and blowing people away, and the only reason they quit is because they run out of ammo or get killed themselves or arrested. Where are they getting that mind? Where are they getting that not regard for life from? And you telling me that you just having a human mind? The only difference in me and you and the world is God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and God's mind and the things that we put in our mind that make a difference. And yielding in obedience to the Lord and walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Listen, Christian, you can entertain killing people and you could be a mass murderer. Yes, you can. And it's God's word that cleanses. Now, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God's word, you stay in God's word just like you're doing right now. God bless you for that. Stay in God's word and hear the truth of God's word. And it cleanses your mind from those kind of that kind of thinking. Don't you say a Christian can't think like that? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. David was saved, and David sat down and thought up how to kill Uriah to get his wife. Murder. Moses murdered an Egyptian and buried him to hide him. Don't say a righteous person can't think that way, because you can. But the Lord said for us to control the things that go into our minds. The Bible says in Lamentations, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was making a point about when he changed it or added to it, "Thou shalt not kill," but he said, "Thou shalt do no murder." He's talking about, well, was killing that person in his mind or was it in his heart? Was it in his heart before he executed it? That's premeditated. But you could be walking down the street in society today and watch a movie or watch your computer or any other thing, and killing is an updated thing that gets in your mind today. Yeah, it does. And you know that. But we are to cast them out and to put good thoughts in our minds and things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, right and wrong, just, and things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are good report, things that are virtuous. Things like that. That's what the Lord says. But getting back to this killing matter, reasons against killing in the Bible, because of God's law, because of the regard for life, the Scriptures have proven that. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read you another one here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And he's comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's comparing the letter to the Spirit. He's comparing the law to grace. But he said that the law kills, and it does. Why? Because we're guilty of breaking it. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to do things spiritually to save us from dying in regard for life. The Lord loves life. And we'll move one more, and we're going to stop for today. What are the reasons against killing in the Bible? Well, because of God's law. And that's just as valid today as it was in the Old Testament. Because of the regard for life. If you're a Christian, and I know some of you haven't, Christians go through some hard things. Some hard, hard things. And you don't think those martyrs thought about paying some people back? You don't think that crossed their mind? You don't think the devil's been right up behind the Christian's ears and saying, no, why, you don't let him do that to you. Go over there and, you know. But the regard for life. A Christian is supposed to fight in his life and do battle to keep his mind as regarding life as cherishing life like the Lord does. Not walking around like these nuts giving children video games that show absolutely no regard for life. As a matter of fact, kill him. Regard for life. All right, the last one is because of one's position. Because of one's position. You say, what? Yeah. Reasons against killing in the Bible, one of them is because of one's position. And we see that in the Scriptures. Let me show it to you. First Samuel chapter 24 and verse 10. The Bible says, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now, of course, we know what the Scripture's talking about right there. It's talking about the big thing that went on between Saul and King David. King Saul and King David. Saul was jealous of David. He envied him. And especially when them maidens started singing about how David was a better soldier and a better warrior than Saul was. And Saul set out to kill him. Well, Saul was asleep in a cave, and the Lord gave David many opportunities to have killed Saul, but he chose not to because of his position. He chose not to kill him. He could have killed Saul and been righteous about it, because Saul was after him to kill him, and David was completely in the right. But Saul was jealous, and he was envious, and he wanted David dead for no reason. But David had several opportunities. He could have cut his head off while he was sleeping. I mean, could have done it, and was encouraged by his men to do it. But he chose not to because of King Saul's position. David saw him as the Lord's anointed, and he wasn't going to put his hand on him. He was going to let God take care of the matter because of one's position. Reasons against killing in the Scriptures, because of one's position. We see that. David did that. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 11, it tells more about it. But in Jude chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Yet Michael the archangel," which is the head of God's army, head of the Lord's host, "yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." When Michael was arguing with the devil over Moses' body, and they were disputing about it, it got to the point to where, I guess, Michael seen where he might say something he shouldn't say, and it said that he chose not to bring a railing accusation against the devil, but just turned it over to the Lord and said, "The Lord rebuke thee," because of one's position. But of course, we know later on in Revelation, he's going to take him and chain him and throw him into the pit and lock him down for 1,000 years. And one more verse, and we'll stop for today. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about reasons for not killing in the Scriptures. Reasons against killing in the Scriptures. The first and foremost is because God says we're not to kill. So get that situated in your mind right off the bat. What is God's will? Thou shalt not kill. What is Jesus' will? Thou shalt do no murder. What does Paul say about it? Thou shalt not kill. Paul reinstituted the law and kept the law alive and kept it valid in the New Testament in Romans. He said, thou shalt not kill. That's what Paul's mind was. Thou shalt commit no adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. And he said, if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he didn't say that this is all Old Testament. He said, this is the way it is, Christian. And he's right, because we shouldn't be thinking about them things or doing them. Right? Talking about killing. Reasons against killing in the Scriptures, because of God's law. All right, and because of the regard for life. As you grow in the Lord, your mind and your heart is not going to get worse when it comes to wanting to kill somebody. Now, before you were saved, you could have been entertaining that kind of stuff and right on the edge of it. But being born again and God the Holy Ghost living in you and you studying the Word of God, your mind is going to go in such a direction to regard life and to cherish life, even if somebody deserves it. The Lord will take care of those matters, and he told us to let him take care of those matters. We are to regard life and to love life. And I know a lot of you are having hard times and especially in today and in today's society and into this world today that we're living in right now, it's hard. The battle in your mind is hard. I know it. But that doesn't change it. When we know better, we ought to do better. And the Scriptures teach us that we ought to regard life. So let's make ourselves regard life. You see? What else? Because of one's position. We see in the Scripture that there was special things that didn't necessarily have to happen. David did not have to save Paul's life, and he would have been justified. But he did it anyway because he respected God's law, he respected the Lord, and anything that had to do with the Lord, David was not going to be part of killing it. King Saul. He was going to let the Lord handle it. Because of one's position. All right. Here's another verse. I got two more verses and we're going to stop. Jude 1:9, I just read about Michael. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." And Peter teaching us how to think and talking about this matter of walking in the lust of the flesh and it being the lust of the flesh, when we started out to begin with, thinking about killing somebody is a lust. And performing it is a lust of the flesh. You talk of those fellows that have been to war and been in combat, especially the ones over in Vietnam. They'll tell you, every one of them will tell you, that it was a lust. That it wasn't disappointing for them to kill people. It was until they crossed the line. And then when they crossed the line and got in the flesh, it became lust. And that lust was pleasurable. They compared it to the best drugs they've ever taken. Or sex. Killing somebody. That's lust. And that's flesh. Yeah, the flesh loves to kill. Lust to kill. Yeah. That's why the Lord told us to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wanting to kill and wanting to murder is a lust of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. Not the Holy Ghost. Unclean spirits, yes, but not the Holy Ghost business. Amen? All right, we'll stop right there then. Let me give you these scriptures, please. If you're taking them down, if you would like to have all this stuff on paperwork, you're welcome to email me and I'll send it right to you, okay? And we'll go from there. Okay, the first one is Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 through 14. Genesis chapter 37, verse 19 through 20. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Acts chapter 27, verse 10 through 31. That was about Paul on that ship. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. And let's see here. Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. And then one that we didn't read, it was a whole chapter, is 1 Samuel chapter 11. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. And the last one for today is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. And there we go. All right. So, what have we talked about today? We've talked about reasons against killing in the Bible. Because of God's law is a reason not to kill, because, now I'm talking to Christians, Bible believers, the church, the body of Christ, because of God's law, because of the regard of life. It's getting deeper into the heart on that one, isn't it? And because of one's position. Amen. And I'm sure there are more, but those are some of them, okay? And we'll get into some more on the next study, and we'll continue this thing about killing and what the Scriptures say. I'm sure that we've been over some truths, and that God the Holy Ghost has shown you some things today, and we are to believe and obey the Scriptures and obey the Lord, and not question it, the matter of killing. Our mind should be non-murderous, non-killing. We're not to kill. We're against killing life. But that doesn't bring all the other scenarios into it, and that's what the world likes to do, is question, 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 question. What about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Wait a minute. Just stop, stop, stop. What does the Bible say? Thou shalt not kill. That's a commandment. That's not a if you want to. Because of the regard for life, in your heart, as a Christian, you're supposed to regard life. Charity covereth all, the Bible says. The love of Christ regards life. Okay, so us being Christians and just that scenario alone and being one of God's youngins and the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, we are to have the minds of Christ, and that's not to kill, that's to save life, and because of one's position, okay? So we'll stop right there. Hope you'll join us on the next one. I'm sure you will. We'll continue in this study of killing, and we'll talk about the killing of Christians on our next recording. Thank you. And the Lord bless you for honoring His Word. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.